Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
Hi, Pelican Brewing cracks open today's Daily Ticker with Pelicano. Discover Pelican's summer seasonal cerveza and drink in refreshment. The NBA draft, ladies and gentlemen, less than 2 weeks away.
So excited.
It's going to be here before we know it. What happens in the top 10? What happens at 11? Where does it all go? Who knows? But let's talk to somebody who might know. Jeremy Wu, at Jeremy Wu on Twitter. You go give him a follow. NBA draft analyst and writer for ESPN, a good friend of the program. His latest mock and predictions with Jonathan Givony is out at ESPN.com, and you can find it on his Twitter account as well. Jeremy, good morning to you. Just from like a 30,000-foot view, How should Blazer fans feel about having the 11th overall pick? When I look at this crop of talent, because you never know, sometimes there's guys that rise and you're like, damn, he went 5th overall, or sometimes there's still guys that are available. But just from the general pool of players that the Blazers could be choosing from, how should fans feel about that pool of players?
Well, I think it's a pretty valuable pick. And I think the sort of the way I'm looking at the draft right now is I think, like, we kind of have a rough idea of who the first, like, 7 or 8 picks will be in terms of players, not necessarily where they'll go. But after that, it opens up in a big way. And I think that's where it gets really interesting. And Portland's pick is right in the middle of that, where there are probably 8 to 10 guys, depending on eye of the beholder, who you could be in play there. And they all have very different skill sets, right? Like, no two guys do the exact same thing. So, like, that's one of the things I'm just very curious about with this draft generally, is just kind of in what order those things get prioritized, right? But I think that pick's valuable, and I think they're going to walk away with someone they're happy with at 11.
So if you say the top 7 or 6 or whatever it ends up being is kind of calculated, is there one, and I'm kind of leading with this a little bit just because of the rumor mill stuff of reading about it, is there a name in this conversation that you think maybe it wouldn't surprise you that much if they fell out of that conversation of being a lock, of being in the top 6 or 7? Ace Bailey, an example, just to throw a name out there. Is there somebody that you think could end up slipping a little further than people think?
I mean, not necessarily the way I'm looking at it. I mean, I think, you know, Ace Bailey is someone who is a big variable in how this draft is going to go. I don't think that he will fall remarkably far. He may not go 3 or 4, but I don't think – I would be surprised if he went, 10 or 11. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
But, I think guys like Bailey and Fears and Trey Johnson, Knipple and Molly Watch, like, those guys are probably gone by 11, right? The next group, Yakachonis, Derek Queen, Carter Bryant, those type of guys are probably, Yegor Demin, like, some of those guys will be there at 11. Just process of elimination, some of them have to be, right? So I think it's not a bad spot in terms of knowing what you're working with.
Interesting. We're talking with Jeremy Wu, NBA draft analyst, on Twitter, at Jeremy Wu. Go give him a follow there. He's also a writer for ESPN. Latest mock up with Jonathan Givony about where he thinks guys will go. And looking at that mock, you mentioned Yakachonis. That's who you have Portland taking. I'm curious, just, what about his game stands out to you as you look at him? And then, we also have a little bit of PTSD out here, Jeremy, where we're taking a lot of guards in top 10 picks, man. And I know this isn't a top 10 pick, but we got a lot of guards on our roster. Or are they all going to be here? He is another point guard. So is there any concern about the fit, or should that be, not even a consideration for Portland considering where they're at and just who's the most talented player available?
Yeah, well, what I like about him as a fit is I think what he brings to the table is something – it's a different skill set maybe than some of the other guards that Portland has. So
you know, it's one thing to have several players who play similar positions, but you know, the skill set overlap is sort of what I'm looking at more when I'm thinking about this. And you know, I live in Chicago, so I saw Illinois play a ton, so I probably have seen him more than anybody else. unfortunately, no, he's a very tough-minded, creative player. I think he has more than what he's shown in Illinois. You know, he had a huge role there, and I think did pretty well with it. But back to my point, I mean, just the I like the unselfishness that he brings. I think if you look at who's on the you know the guards Portland has, these guys are more scoring oriented, right? Like, you know, Anthony Simons is really a scorer by nature. Sharp is really a scorer. You know, Scoot is still more, I think, a scorer than a playmaker. And, you know, I don't know what, you know, how the front office is going to move forward in terms of who stays and, you know, what they decide. But I do think having a guy with the size that Jakaćonis has, the unselfishness, and he can play both guard spots, right? He's big enough. He's 6'6". So I think that those type of players are sort of malleable and kind of easy to slot in. And I think he's a winning player. So I don't think it would be a bad fit.
We had a BYU guy on yesterday to talk about Yegor, and we had asked him straight up because he thinks Yegor's are just like a solidified point guard with amazing vision. Asked him about off ball, wasn't as confident about the off ball, thinks he's a really traditional point guard in that sense. How is Jakaćonis? Like, if we put him in a lineup and we've got a Scoot out there, how do you envision that? Like, how does that work in your mind with him coming into Portland?
I don't think that would be too big of a concern. I mean, I think I trust Kasparis, his shooting a little bit more than Yegor, just as a point of comparison. So, like, I think, you know, second side, playmaking. You can, a lot of most teams right now are rolling out multiple playmakers. I mean, the Pacers right now, a lot of time they have Haliburton and Nembhard out there together, right? Like, OKC often, you know, Shea and Williams, they have, like, two or three guys in the court who can initiate the play, right? And that's kind of the way a lot of teams are playing right now. So, again, the size factor helps in the case of Jakaćonis, right? Where at least, you know, he's big enough to maybe, you know, slow down a bigger player. At least it gives you more presence of size on the floor. Like, that all matters. So I can see that working.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You work with a guy that used to work with a assistant general manager of the Blazers. I'm just curious, like, Mike Schmidt's have a type when you think about mocking and you have an idea of certain teams and people making decisions that are important. Like, Mike Schmidt's reveals he kind of has a type and Jakaćonis fits the type?
I mean, I have no direct insight into what Mike is thinking, although I'm sure it's smart thoughts. I could see it.
I want to ask you about a couple other guys because, you know, as you mentioned, you know, first 6-7 picks, we kind of know who they're going to be at least. We just don't know exactly where they're all going to go. And then after that, it's a throw a dart at the board and let's see what sticks, right? And we've already listed a couple of names here. Carter Bryant is another one that has come up a lot for Blazer fans about his size, his athleticism. I think you and Gavoni both had him going 14 to San Antonio, so it's right there in that range of at 11 where Portland will be picking. What do you make of him, his strengths and weaknesses, and would 11 be a reach in your mind for Carter Bryant?
No, I think I would guess he's in play, you know, as they have these discussions there. You know, Carter Bryant, I think, has two really good things going for him. One, just, you know, the skill set. Sort of, I know 3-and-D is kind of cliche, but that's more or less like what he does. I think teams are optimistic about the shooting. I think his passing and overall feel is like maybe a little underrated. And defensively, you know, has a good defensive mindset. But the other thing is he has an amazing frame, right? So it's not just the, you know, it's a 3-and-D guy, but here's a 3-and-D guy who could legitimately, you know, maybe defend 2, 3, and 4, right? Because he's very strong and agile and has room to kind of keep improving. But like you see him in person, and it's like, okay, like I get it, right? He looks like you know, an NBA player. So you know, those two things together, I think, bode well for him. And yeah, he's not a guy who's going to create offense, but I think he's a guy who's going to be able to knock down a shot, add versatility defensively in terms of matchups. And that's kind of the type of player that's valuable anywhere, right? And in this class, there aren't that many guys like that. So I think he's benefited from that as well.
Is there somebody in that range, Portland's range, that maybe you're not as high on as the other names we've already mentioned?
I don't know if I would love, like, it's not that I'm not as high. It's just, like, I don't know if I would love, like, the Derek Queen sit there. Like, I don't know if that makes total sense. Like, I think with Klingon, I think you'd want to have a second more agile guy on the floor. I think you wouldn't want to have two sort of bigger, slower guys. I don't know if I'd love that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that, I think in that range, Johan Berenger is a French, French defensive-minded center, really interesting young player. But again, with Klingon in place, like, I don't think you double down on a center at 11. So, yeah. But beyond that, I think it's kind of interesting because, like I said, these guys are all kind of different flavors, right? Like, they're all, this group talented, but they have different skills. It's just kind of, what they feel directionally with the roster, what they want to do. But none of these guys, I think, really duplicate what they have necessarily either. So it'll be very, it's a team that's a little hard to peg at this early.
Well, I mean, on that point, Jeremy, I wanted to ask you on that because you mentioned some of the fit stuff. That's always an interesting debate I feel like we have every year going into the draft, especially for teams in Portland's position and kind of where they're at, of just what percentage breakdown is it just this guy's the best player available and we got to take him, and what percentage of it is this guy fits a need that we have, or we already have Klingon, or we already have guards, so we don't need necessarily that on our roster. Like, as you did from a philosophical standpoint, how would you view that?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think it depends. It's funny, like, we always talk about, do they need this? But a lot of that is just also internal evaluation, right? Like, it's not so much necessarily, do we need another guard, but it's like, is this guard better than the guards we have, right? Like, is he right. better than what we have? And I think that's usually the bigger question. And, like, when I'm looking at the mock draft, I am trying to also ask that question, right? Like, put yourself in the shoes of the team. Is it an upgrade, right? And it's okay to, load up at certain positions if you think it's an upgrade. Is Portland far enough along in what they're doing to say, we need this specific role and we have to address it to the draft? Like, maybe not. But also, like, again, you don't want to cannibalize the minutes for a guy who you believe in. So I think what they do to some extent will also be a referendum on what's already on the roster, right? I mean, I think Kamara has been a good find. Like, Abdia had a really good season. Like, they made some good steps last year. So I'm genuinely curious what they feel is the way to go.
I know you cover a lot of pre-draft stuff. You go to the combine. You're in Chicago. I'm just curious to get your thoughts of what you wrote or thought about these two guys versus what you've seen so far early in their careers, Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson. Obviously, there have been players in their own drafts that have performed better than them so far, but your thoughts on what you thought of Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson going into their respective drafts versus what you've actually seen from them here in Portland so far?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think Sharp was always a tricky eval. Like, that year was an interesting test case just because he didn't play at all at Kentucky, right? I'm sure you remember. He ended up in the draft anyway because people were intrigued by him. So I think to get to where he is now, I mean, I'm not going to act like I watched, every single Portland game, so don't act like it. exactly how these guys are today, right? But I think that the progress he's made is probably not bad considering the level of experience that he had. He takes a little bit of time. He's been able to play through it. Certainly, you'd like the 3-point shooting to be better, right? I'm not looking at these percentages. Like, you'd like this to tick up, but I think it's sort of what you expected, right? I mean, a guy who's gonna take time. And often, got wing scorers just take time to kind of adjust to the NBA, make the right reads, and just learn to play team basketball. Because a lot of these guys, coming from lower levels, like, aren't asked to play roles. So that's a learning process. Scoot is someone who I saw a lot more of with G League Ignite. I think someone who I think there were probably higher expectations than, what he's necessarily shown the first two seasons. But I think point guards in particular can take a while. And it's kind of the same thing, right? Where, you know, maybe he benefits from if they get another ball handler and he doesn't have to be, you know, the full-time lead guard, right? Like I think he is still more of a scorer by nature. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I think there's more in there. I think there was a reason, you know, for the optimism coming in, and I would hesitate to write him off, but also it definitely has been slow, and I'm sure it hasn't been what everybody hoped for either.
Yeah, big year for both of those guys coming up. Jeremy Wu, ESPN. Go check out his great piece with Gavoni, breaking down the draft, where guys are going to go, where they think the best fit is for all those players. You can find it on his Twitter account as well as ESPN.com. At Jeremy Wu is where you give him a follow, man. Thanks. I'm sure you're busier in hell right now with the draft coming up two weeks away. You got a lot going on. Yeah. We genuinely appreciate the time out here in Portland, man, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.